this thing. No title again.
Anda de lo nevi ele du mare.
Okay, we start the recorder, but we don't have to start the podcast. Barbecuing again. Ooh, God, probably noisy. Cleaning off the grill from the last time we did this with all the ribs. Different this time, maybe a little healthier. A couple of turkey burgers, one hamburger for my youngest son, and a couple of pork sausages. So no, not exactly health food, but what the hell. There we go. Slap on the frozen meat. Ooh. Flames leaping up when they shouldn't be. Close the lid and talk to you, my friends. Podcast 55 for Dixon Janes, I guess. I wanted to start this 2 hours earlier when it was still sunny. It's light now. It's just after 6 p.m. on a Wednesday. It'll be March 29th, getting near the end of March, and it's sort of crunch time for my business, for lots of things. And today was one hell of a day. Boy, oh boy, there were some real emotional ups and downs, which, my apologies in advance, I'm probably going to share them all with you. Started off at the dentist office. I had to book the day off work so I could see the dentist and the heart specialist, so dentist first, and that's never good for me. Like, I grew up in a time when, you know, you only saw the dentist when you had a toothache, and then he probably pulled them out. This small town, Valleyfield. Dr. Seacott, the one dentist in Valleyfield. Holy moly. Nightmare City. And then that whole period of time I talked about last time when I was out in Vancouver in the 70s. Never had enough money to really get it together, and I think I saw a dentist here and there for emergency work, but just didn't keep it up. And I'm just, like, I'm a dying breed. I'm one of these old farts that's just, we're on our way out. New kids are growing up with better health and hygiene. I'm one of the old dogs, and that's exactly what I felt like when I was in the dentist chair. I felt like an old dog. I'd visited, last weekend when I was in Ottawa, my all-time favorite ever dog, Barney, and his eyes are starting to cloud over, and he's got a little arthritis, you know, slow getting up, and just filthy brown teeth. And I felt just like him. I sat in that chair, and I felt, damn it, how come I'm sitting here lying back, and somebody's scraping away, shoving all these tools into your mouth. Never the best of times for me. I have a huge anxiety issue about dentists. A real, real hang-up. It's a miracle that I go. I've got a very, very good dentist. Talked to him about iPods all the time. Today I talked to him about podcasts, explained what they were, and to my heart specialist about podcasts. So I'm spreading the word, folks. I'm just not telling them to listen to me. Don't know what damage they'd do next time I saw them. So, anyway, managed to get out of that, get home, did a whole lot of work, three important sort of business calls and volunteer work that I'm kind of heavily involved with. Holy shit, that's the sounds of Scarborough in the background, eh? Ambulances, fires, police. No gunshots, but we're in a really nice little corner. I'm out on the deck and it is beautiful, but anyway, survived that and then went in for a stress test, so I had to get on the treadmill and crank it up till I couldn't take it anymore, or my heart rate or whatever reached 163, and we reached the 163 and everything was fine. Saw the doctor after and he said, oh, this is a little bit irregular. I think we'll go for one more stress test, only this time we'll have a whole look at the heart. But anyway, I'm not getting into that. I vowed, like, one thing you don't want to do is get into health stories. Some people, as they get older, they just get so damn boring because that's all they talk about. And I vowed I wouldn't do that. You know, I mean, I'll let everybody know. If I come down, I've got some disease, I've got 3 months to live. Believe me, you're going to hear about it. There's going to be a flurry of podcasts and demands for clinical acid and everything else. But no, it's nothing like that. It's just the usual boring shit about the realities of life when you have to look after your body. And those are the things that usually depress the hell out of me. Because I'm very good in the fantasy world. I'm very good in conversation with people. I'm very good when nothing has to be real. But man, when it comes down to the real stuff, the skin and the bone and the organs and all that, I don't like playing that game. I'm not interested. So I remain ignorant, not as blissfully ignorant as I'd like to be, but ignorant enough to just keep on chugging along. Anyway, I got home and had some very touching emails about the podcast. Touching and funny and man, oh man, it just feeds you. So here I am again. What I had wanted to do was to go out and take you for a walk and give you something nice. But hey, this is not bad. You know, I got a beautiful robin and a train whistle. I love the sound of trains. Could be CN or could be the, that's the GO train. Isn't that nice? I love the sounds of freight trains, of whistles. And now all the birdies out. Beautiful big fat robin. Oh. We're like 10 minutes walk from the tracks, but that distance, that sound really carries. Hope nobody's on the track. Anyway, there's the start, there's the warm-up, there's the intro, and this is going to be yet another podcast. I think I'm going to try and keep this one pretty real. No farting on the staircase this time, unless it happens. Stay true, stay honest, because we got to do that. And I'll get back to you. Let me tend the food. I forgot to add that, of course, I have the Beaujolais left over from last time to chug down. Oh, it's so nice. Now, let me hold it up to the light. Oh, it's pretty dark. Oh, no, there it is in the sun. God, it's a nice color. I mean, that is one of the treats of red wine. You hold that up to the light, and it looks so pure, so beautiful, so natural. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I am not disappointed. I haven't had Beaujolais for a long time. I'd sort of gone off it. I like the heavier bodies. Like, I went into Spanish wine for most of the time. When I still want my full-bodied bloody red, you know, I go for the Spanish and the South American red wines. But this is nice. This is a really nice change. Very refreshing. And I'm quite happy with it. I'm always happy when I got a glass of wine in my hand. You know, I'm that simple. That's the thing that used to bug my wife so much. I was so easily turned into a happy boy, you know. And I think to a large degree I still am. And I don't know whether that's just genetics and you're just born that way. Or you've had to work, you have to cultivate that in your life, you know. It's hard to say. There's a lot of disappointment going on. We're a marriage of two cultures, of course, Japanese and Canadian. And not just a Canadian one, but a kind of a lazy Canadian one. Like, I wouldn't say my dad was lazy. No, he busted his ass all his life. And my brother's not. But I think we're all, I think the whole family is. We've kind of wanted to do what we want to do. You know, we're just not like up and start newcomer go-getters at all. And of the whole, the entire family, reaching back generations, you know, I'm probably the laziest. I've got it to an art form. And unfortunately, my boys seem to have picked up a lot of that. Much to my wife's consternation, if that's the correct word. You know, they just don't seem to have any ambition whatsoever, and anything is just good enough. And to me, that might be a Canadian outlook on life. I don't know about Canadian-American differences here. Probably not. Well, that might be an interesting area. It's a bit abstract, but terms of just getting ahead in life, are there differences? Are we Canadians just more easily satisfied with not achieving anything? I don't know. Maybe. Well, there's one for you. Sorry about the noise here. Oh, I gotta tell you, before I burn the meat, hang on, let me check. Holy shit. You know what happened? This is kind of funny. I knew I had to do this treadmill thing, so of course I bought my... I was going to bring this in with me, and I thought, no, I don't want to start podcasting, you know, or have a heart attack in the middle of it. That'd be a bummer. But I brought in my iPod, and of course tuned to Marvin Suicide, show number 60. Marvin is still my favorite music podcast. I really love the stuff that guy plays. It's right out there, and it takes me out, you know, with the music. Anyway, I put it on, and that was cool, you know, listening. But the lady, the Chinese lady who's reading the test and watching, it's a sheet of paper is spitting out of the machine, you know, showing my heart rate and so on. She's giving me instructions, okay, speeding it up every 3 minutes, you know, getting that blood heart rate up and so on, you okay? So I had to pull out one ear plug so I could hear her and listen to Marvin's music at the same time. Not a good move. And I've got all these electrodes fastened to me, you know, like about 8 different little clips stuck all over my chest with wires running down and, you know, a blood pressure thing hooked up on my arm. I'm still determined I'm going to listen to Marvin Suicide while I pace away on this treadmill. It's going faster and faster. And as it sped up, the plug that was sort of, I had put over my shoulder fell down in the front. I didn't realize that. And suddenly, the graph, she's looking at, you can see a computer monitor, and then you see the paper coming out, showing, you know, the readings. And suddenly it goes crazy. And she looks at me, and I can see this look on her face, and I'm looking at the screen, because I'm watching this too, and I'm, holy fuck, what's happened? I feel fine, but that looks like something's really, really wrong. Well, yeah, you guessed it, because I didn't tell the story very well. The little ear bud that was blasting a Marvin Suicide screwed up the heart monitoring system, and suddenly it just went absolutely haywire. So I think that's another podcast first I'd like to claim. Just being on a treadmill for a stress test listening to Marvin Suicide is one thing, but to have it actually have Marvin Suicide screw up your heart rate readings, it was quite something. Anyway, we got straightened that up. We threw that thing over the shoulder. I said, okay, hey, we'll shut the damn thing off. I didn't want to have any more false readings, you know. Anyway, that was that. So listen, the meat's cooked. I gotta go. Listen, I'd like to talk to you all day, but goddammit, I got a life. I got a family to feed. I got stuff to do. I can't just stand here all day talking to you. Yeah, okay, I'm glad you're listening. That's fine, but let's, you know, carve out some territory here. I gotta have people yelling at me pretty soon. All right, fries are done anyway. Bye now.
Every night, when my work is through, every night, when my work is through, I put my foot in my gas tank, I'm steady coming home to you. In every way, you're so good to me. Every way, baby, you're so good to me. You make me feel so good till I'm as happy as a man can be. Tell the world I am happy. I'm so happy with you. Well, I'm happy, baby. I am so happy with you. And I'm so lucky and so happy till I don't know what to do. Oh, baby, every night. Oh. because my table is set. Now what can I buy to please my pretty pet? Because every night when my work is through, I stick my 13s in the gas tank, steady coming home to you, babe. Every night when my work is through, every night, baby, when my work is through, I got my foot in my gas tank, steady coming home to you. Don't stop me now, officer, please. She's got a roast tonight. Every night my work is through, baby. Wow, every night. No, sir, I haven't been drinking. I have my first drink every night with my lady, my best friend. My foot's in the gas tank. I'm steady coming home to you. You mean, what are we gonna do? Why was I in such a hurry? That's easy. You see, she fixes this food. And I come home and I go in the freezer and I take this thing out and start to pour, and we have two. Then we eat. And then we fall asleep on TV like you do. Every night. When my work is through, babe. Wake up with the news and Johnny Carson. Just like you, baby. And in between times, baby, ba 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 do ba ba do do ba do ba. If you get lucky, every night, every night, when your work is through. Hi, darling. How you feeling?
But the mission can't be forgotten.
At the end of the day, this is what we do for a living. And as you see how people are living over here, you know, you understand how important it really is to get the job done.
The firefight with the Taliban that killed Costell also left three other Canadian soldiers injured. They were treated at the Coalition Medical Center in Kandahar. One soldier will be moved to a military hospital in Germany. Derek Stoffel, CBC News, Kandahar.
James Loney posed for pictures this afternoon outside his parents' home in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. The freed hostage arrived in the city with his partner Dan Hunt late yesterday.
He certainly would have gotten
his father says reporters and camera crews have been hanging around the house waiting for his son's return.
All right.
He spent almost 4 months as a hostage in Iraq.
If you don't mind.
Italy has granted asylum to an Afghan who faced the death penalty for converting from Islam to Christianity. Italy's prime minister says Abdul Rahman is in the care of the government after arriving in Italy earlier today. Okay. Rahman was jailed this month for abandoning Islam and could have faced the death penalty under Islamic Sharia law. But he was acquitted and released from prison yesterday after pressure from Western countries. Many religious leaders and citizens in Afghanistan were calling for him to be killed. The premier of Newfoundland and Labrador called on the federal government to...
There we go. Okay. Yeah, the old trick. I know it's getting stale now, starting off with the newscast, but that's what I'm listening to. It's 8 o'clock that same evening. And I dug out my book. This is called Everyday Mind. Remember, when I first started doing these podcasts, I used to read quite often. I'd read from books, and especially Buddhist books, or books about Buddhism. Because, if you remember, my goal was to find enlightenment in the course of these podcasts. And now that I'm getting on to 60, it's sort of like a looming deadline. That means this show and another 4 to go, right? And I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to, you know, that golden flash is going to happen, or the apple land on my head, or I just don't think I'm going to suddenly cry out, I found it. I'd like to save that for number 60, you know. In fact, you know, it'd be cool if now I'd already reached enlightenment and I'm just sort of playing stupid to save it up for the 60th show. But no, I don't think that's the way it's going to be. But, yeah, this is odd. Here I am. I'm holding the iRiver in my hand, and I'm talking into the iRiver like it's the mic. It's not. The mic is here. Jeez, I hope you can hear me. So, what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to read you a little bit from this Everyday Mind, Reflections on the Buddhist Path. Buddha was not interested in the elements comprising human beings, nor in metaphysical theories of existence. He was more concerned about how he himself existed in this moment. That was his point. Bread is made from flour. How flour becomes bread when put in the oven was for Buddha the most important thing. How we become enlightened was his main interest. The enlightened person is some perfect, desirable character for himself and for others. Ooh, sounds good. Buddha wanted to find out how human beings develop this ideal character, how various sages in the past became sages. In order to find out how dough became perfect bread, he made it over and over again until he became quite successful. That was his practice. Well, folks, I think we all need to rewind the tape and play that again, because I didn't get it. I mean, I know it's about being here now, but, man, that just didn't have the answers for me. What the hell are the noises going on? My wife's in a bad mood again. Okay, I guess I'll dwell on that for a little while and get back to you, okay? I've spent the last little while flipping through my books, mostly on Zen. I think I've got about three or four of them right here at the fingertips. I'm going to read from one. I haven't done this for a while. The book is Zen Soup. I've mentioned it many times before by Lawrence Bolt. And the section's called Letting Go. We can speak of letting go in two respects. Letting go in the moment, and a deeper letting go, or surrender of the ego. Letting go in the moment comes with the acceptance of insecurity, the realization that since life is constantly changing, there is nothing to hold on to. Holding on to happiness is one of the surest ways of making ourselves miserable. In fact, the only better way is holding on to misery itself. Each moment has its own lessons, joys, and sorrows, which can only be fully experienced when we give up trying to be in control and let go into the changes. That's one of the ones I get, understand, and fully believe, and that's what I talked a little bit about in past episodes, about just being in that moment, sitting by that stream, enjoying that sunshine, treating yourself well, but just letting go. Not holding on to things, just experiencing that moment. Now, the heavier one. On a deeper level, letting go means releasing attachment to the ego. The life of Zen requires giving up the notion that the desires of our separative egos will ever make us happy. It is not the failure to fulfill these desires that brings unhappiness. It is the desires themselves. In Buddhism, they are referred to as cravings, trishna, and are considered to be the origin of all human suffering. In a universe of oneness, the ego struggles to maintain the illusion that a separate existence. In truth, letting go of the ego and letting go of struggle are one and the same. When, once and for all, we give up the struggle to prove that we are worthy of love or approval, the struggle to justify our existence, the struggle to hold on to limited beliefs and concepts of how things should be, we free ourselves to enjoy life as it is. Okay.
Came to town, people. I was walking down Hastings Street. Everybody was talking about Henry Swing Club. I decided to stop in there for a while. And man, when I got there, yeah, they were really having a ball. Well, I feel so good.
I want a boogie.
Well, till the break of day. Say again. Oh, I feel so good.
I want a boogie.
Low to the break of day. All right. Young boy, I was laying down one night and I had Ma and Pa talking. I had Pa tell Ma, hey, come on, let that boy boogie woogie, cause you know it's in him and it's just got to come out. Cause it's in him and it just got to come out. Let it be so good, child.
I want a boogie.
Love, till the break of day. Jump, chill. Oh, I feel so good.
I want a boogie.
Love, till the break of day.
Cheers, mates. And I hope you can hear me above this roar in the background. God, this bar is noisy. So, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of Dixon Chains, I'd like to introduce you to the only cafe. Now, we may have been here once before. I don't know, back in those earlier days. But I'm not sure about that. I've been here many times, and maybe some of you have. That's pretty unlikely. This bar, I would put as, I would guess my number one bar in Toronto. It's right up there in the top 10 worldwide list, in fact. Now, the Rex Hotel counts. That's kind of a different breed. That's a big hotel, lots of people. This is just a quaint little... It's really a cafe, but they just happen to have about 100 kinds of beer on hand. Always great, great draft selection. I used to come here for Beamish until Guinness wiped them off the map. But they have Wellington County, and they have just a number of them, and I think we'll probably work our way through a few in the course of the evening. So, cheers with my Tank House Ale. This is that little microbrewery that's in the old Seagram's Distillery District, which they've, rather than knocked down, they've polished up the bricks and turned it into kind of an artsy center in Toronto here. It's kind of nice, and they have lots of outdoor performances, concerts, probably boutiques, and special events. So it's kind of cool. But they've managed to get a brewery in there, and it's quite good. It's heavy. It's tasty. Anyway, you may be asking, what the hell are you doing here, dude? It's Friday night. Aren't you supposed to be home? And the answer is, yeah, I could have gone home. But I was on the subway listening to Fellaheen Radio, Mr. Crickenden 405, who I'm delighted to hear is a listener to this humble show. And I'm listening to him, and he's sitting in the parking lot in his car, having a beer, and just observing things around him. But he's been talking this episode, the one before, how he's lost his muse, his creativity has dried up. And he's reflecting on that in a very honest way, and it kind of hooked me, because, you know, he was just kind of talking, but the fact that he was open, the way they sometimes are open on suburban transpondency, I mean, two men with foreskin, it drew me in. And I just started listening, and then next thing... It's just these things that just blow you out of the water. They really do. Next thing he says, you know, I really like something about the authenticity, the honestness, the open flow that the Scarborough dude does and Chubb Creek. And I was just so damn honored. I mean, you're sitting on the subway, you're not expecting that. It touches you, man. Really gets to you. You hear any mention of another show and you just feel good. You try not to, you know, get a swelled head or anything, but hey, my head is fucking swollen. I walked into this bar feeling like a fucking big, really real podcaster king, man. So thank you for that. But the real effect was you changed my whole day. So while you're sitting, and this is the beauty of all this. You have no idea. You're sitting in your car drinking a beer and you're watching the... Is it a whore or an escort or who's going by? What's that Chinese guy doing in his truck? Is he jacking off or doing drugs or what? All we know is he didn't wash his hands after he wee-weed. And he works in the food section. So, anyway, I mean, you go listen to the show. You'll find out all the details and less. It just turned my head, and so I'm like, what the hell? I feel like a beer. I've put in a rough day. And it's like the old days. I used to be walking along the street, and I hear this other voice in my head, and it was my good old buddy, Barnacle Bill, up in Vancouver. And I'd ask, hey, should I go in for a beer or not? And Barnacle Bill would always say, why not? Nothing to stop you just sticking your head in the door. Of course, once you got your head in the door and your arse on the seat, next thing you're ordering a beer. And sometimes you need those little guidelines. You need those other voices in life, you know, not the ones that say, go out and kill, but the ones that say, have a beer, man, relax, take it easy. So that's the effect. So here I am. So listeners, you're getting an entirely different podcast because some guy in his truck, I believe in Oregon, is sitting there not sure what's next. And that touches some guy on a TTC subway in Toronto. And next thing you know, we're all here together in this bar. And, you know, come on. If you don't get that, the ripples of that, it's just too much. Pardon me, I don't want to make a fool of myself here. I'm beginning to get the odd look, but hey, everybody else is wrapped up in their own conversations, as you can well hear, so I'm just going to motor on. This bar is, the walls, there's not a bare spot of wall anywhere. They are just filled with pictures and posters. So right here where I'm sitting at a little table, looking out onto the street, there's an outdoor little front area where people love to smoke. Very small. Always lit by candles, which is one of the attractions. Very friendly lead-back staff. Fridge full of beer, like, from around the world. You know, really good ones. And then, like I say, the selection. But anyway, right beside me is a complete range of Van Goghs and some Gauguin. On the other side, there's that great one of the New York posters of John Lennon that we all identify with. And just on the other side, just over my shoulder, I can see the Pope and, what's his name, Bob Marley, rolling the duty. And it's just so nice. And of course you got your Che Guevara's and you got all the other stuff up there. It's just got that old hippie feel. So this, once again, I told people last time, you come to Toronto, go down to Little China, talking about, forget Chinatown, not so interesting anymore. One day we'll do Kensington Market, but I said it was Little India. But when you want a beer, come out, go on the Danforth. This area is called the Danforth or Greek Town. And it's just a string of restaurants and bars. This is on the far end. This is at Donlan subway station. So get off at Donlan's, get out onto Bloor, turn right, and you'll see the only cafe. And it is just a dandy. So anyway, cheers. It's good. It's real good. So, listen, I want to mention the gathering. Just, this is a little plug if you're still listening. For the podcast about Across Borders gathering in Kingston, it's going to be June 23rd, 24th. Just go to anything on the Rogic conglomerate podcast, any links, or Electric Sky, or Bob and AJ Show, and you'll find links to their website, Podcasters Across Borders. Kingston is the perfect location because it's easy to get to from Montreal, Ottawa, or Toronto. It was the capital of Canada one time. Believe me, I bring a group of students to Kingston every year, so I know a little bit about the history here, folks. And it's a fine town, but it's also a party town, because we've got Queen's University and RMC, which is Royal Military College. You got all the jails you can want, with the nastiest people ever in Kingston Pen. But they're pretty well locked up. You're pretty, the streets are safe, believe me. Don't leave the keys in your car, but otherwise you're fine. And a lot of good pubs. Mark has mentioned a few, but there's some Irish pubs that I know, very dandy ones. Lord help us if I get into there. So I'm going. I'm thrilled. And I'm just hoping some of you are listening to this and say, well, why not? This is going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. And what I can give you is a guarantee, a Scarborough Moon's personal guarantee for that. It will be perfect. There it is. I've even got that down already. No matter who comes or who doesn't come, it will all be perfect. Guaranteed. There you go. And that's from a man who's got 5 more shows left, 4.5 maybe, to reach enlightenment. So let's see how this one plays out. Anyway. Yeah, it was weird. It was so weird. I've never had that effect before. I mean, I know you've got to be careful about all this, and I know other shows that actually have a lot of listeners, like Chuck Beak and so on, sometimes talk about it. You do get to feel, like, I walked into this party, and I felt famous. Nobody knew me. All they see is this old fart sitting there, drinking his beer, you know, some old bum comes in. But I'm sitting inside saying, hey, you don't know me, but I am the fucking Scarborough dude, man. And that was just an amazing glow to carry around. It's really funny. Probably didn't mean anything to anybody out there. But, it was pretty cool. Okay. Hang on, Mama. Pause this, okay? Cheers again, folks. And this is with pint number 2, a Red Leaf. Now, this is also local brewery. I didn't get enough information. I don't know where it's from, but it is local. It's not bad. I'd probably have to have another pint another time to decide, because... Oh, right here, right now, I'm just feeling good about everything, and there's nothing I'm not going to like, so... Cheers. Good stuff. Listen, remember last show we did that little walk in the graveyard, and I blurted out a secret I was supposed to keep about, perhaps the new Dixon James? Now, bear in mind it could all be a lie, but I'm really not playing games with you. I'd really... had the idea that something ends at 60, and there's just no question about that. It's just I want to tie up this package. I feel somehow, some deep level, and I don't know why, I don't even know why that number, but it had to be all put together, packaged, put in a box somehow, and then move on again, give myself some breathing space, you know, change a little bit, I don't know. So that's the plan, and I mentioned the possibility of having the new Dixon James. Well, I'd like to correct myself. I just realized sitting here, you know, daydreaming, drifting off, enjoying my beer, and just the ambience of this Omni Cafe, the music in the background, which is always cool, the friendly, smiling staff, the laid-back people. I decided the relaunch after Show 60 will not be the new Dixon James. It's going to be the old Dixon James. So there you have it. Special announcement only for you, my listeners, who hung in this far and kept with me right up to this moment. You get in on one more little secret. Stay tuned. Sometime in the future, there'll be the old Dixon James with a few features I'm not ready yet to share with you, but you'll see. Oh, I had some other stuff I wanted to talk about. Oh, yeah, contradicting myself. It may seem like outright lying, but no, I don't lie. I'm very, very truthful. But often I'll say something and then turn around, you know, 2 minutes later, 1 week later, with the complete opposite view. And it's really funny, and I'm very comfortable with that, like... Because I think you have to be in life. Like, you might feel one way at a certain time, and then things change. And that's why I would never be good in the role of a commander. You know, I was thinking about, a captain in times of war. All you men, be prepared. We're going to take that hill over there. I want each and every one of you to march in front of those blazing machine guns and don't stop until we've taken that position. I will shoot in the head any man who disobeys orders. And then, of course, Joe raises his hand and says, do I have to go? I don't feel well. All right. Okay, Joe doesn't have to go, but the rest of you, I mean it. Be prepared to march. Yes, Harry? You don't feel like going either? All right. The rest, what, you want a meeting?
All right. All right, we'll just... Okay, we'll have a meeting. And, but tomorrow, damn it, we're taking that hill tomorrow. And if we don't, someone else might. Sorry. I'm really not a leader, you know. I don't mind. I love being close to the leaders. I've said that before. You know, the guy who whispers in the king's ear. Nasty man. No, I'm not nasty. What am I saying? I've lost my thread, is what I'm saying. It's hard to focus, hard to concentrate with all this noise going on. What was I talking about? I was talking about leadership. I'm not a good leader. Oh, changing your mind. That's right, reversals. And remember last podcast, I was determined, I was so thrilled that I announced publicly I'm going to see Air. Well, I have here in my hand, from the Friday, March 31st, Toronto Star, the Arts and Entertainment section, a review by Richard Ozunian, who many people just hate. He's a theater creator. And I don't know, I'm not good at this kind of stuff, so I often believe what other people say. And he gives it one star, I assume, out of a possible five. And the caption is, "Hair needs a comb." And boy, does he slam it. But enough that I realized, oh, shit, I'm not going. I'm like, why would I go and be disappointed? Like, Hair is a great production. It's a great musical. I've already seen it. Just because it's here doesn't mean I have to go. You know, even though I told you last week, I was going to go publicly. So now I'm telling you, come on, get off my back. I'm telling you publicly, I'm not going. What does he say? This production could move intact to a cruise ship, although they'd probably ask for better performers in most roles. Now, boom! Is that a kicker? You know, the costumes. Danny Lin's costumes and scenery have gone to Peter Max for inspiration with overly bright Dago colors, cutesy set pieces, and costumes that no one in the 1960s would have been caught dead in. Yeah, that hurts too. What else? Pretty shitty performance, weak cast. What has always made past productions of Hair fly was the talent of the cast, but even that is lacking this time around. Let's be honest, most of the young actors on stage are not on the A or even B list of local talent available. Man, if you're one of those actors, how do you feel when you read this guy? You'd want to go out and kill the guy, wouldn't you? The voices are largely weak and dancing rudimentary, and the acting skills non-existent. Now, he gives a few exceptions. The lead role, Jamie McKnight, makes a strong impression on the leading role of Claude, radiating charisma and fear at the same time, while singing with full-throated commitment. So that's nice. So that guy's going to feel great. But he's going to be pissed that the rest of the cast are bringing down his production. But, anyway. It stinks from the sounds of it. And I just believe it. So I ain't going. I am going to go instead. And here's another one. And you watch it. See if I contradict myself next week. I'm going to buy the latest Dave Gilmour, formerly of Pink Floyd, CD. It's out. It's at HMV. I hate HMV. I refuse to shop there. I refuse to spend my money there. But my son has a coupon that he's got to use. You know, one of these gift certificates. So I think I'll give him cash. And I'll use that coupon and snap it up. Because I've always been a big Pink Floyd fan. Right from the way back. They were my first group that really got me launched into inner space, I guess. Okay. Another theme, another thread, authenticity. Listening, as I always do, to Evil Genius Chronicles. And I'm excited to hear that Ted over at Island Podcasting is going to interview the guy on an upcoming podcast. That's terrific, Dad. I wish you luck. Ask him. Boy, that's just great. I'm really, really happy about that. He says, authenticity is a scarce and fragile resource, and once squandered, cannot be easily regained. Now, those are words to live by. Authenticity is a scarce and fragile resource, and once squandered, cannot easily be regained. Thank you, Dave Slusher, for those words of wisdom. I have a little more beer now to reflect on here. Damn, it's noisy in this place. God, do you ever wish you just had one of those like magic wands and you could just get everybody just to freeze at, you know, just, all you do is just point it at the crowd and go, presto! Holy fuck. What? Good God. No, I didn't. No. I didn't want that to happen. No. Unpresto. Oh, fuck. That scared the shit out of me. God, now they're really going to think I'm weird. What? There's nothing like a good pint and a nice glass. And, cheery company and just that little bit of freedom. This is more clawback. You might find I'm doing more and more and more clawback time. Like, I just phoned my son and said, hey, Pa's not coming home right away. See you around 7:30. And by the look of the clock now, I don't think I'm going to make it. Because I'm getting pretty damn comfortable in this place. So excuse me while I pause and maybe join the company here. Cheers once again, folks. And this is beer number 4. And it's a Gritstone. I guess that's from the Niagara Falls area. A dark, heavy one. Not a favorite, but I needed something. I needed another kick in the head to finish the evening off. So here I am with a pint of Gritstone. The one pint I don't need. The one pint that's taken me right over that line. That and perhaps the little toke I had in the men's room downstairs, but hey, that's my business, not yours, so butt out. Oh, let me tell you, you missed beer number 3, which was a Wellington County Ale in a nice, tall, slender Wellington glass, and that was probably the best of the bunch. Nice dark, and you know what was such a treat about it is I had that in the company of a very nice couple from Scarborough. So, hey, folks, I told you to listen in to Dixon Jean's podcast number 55. This is it. And these are my greetings to you out there, somewhere in Scarborough, if ever you did follow up the lead, unless I scared you off, because I gotta tell you, I saw this young woman at the bar while I was up there to pay my bill. And I noticed she had a very nice bag of chips. Well, when you get to be old, that's the kind of thing you notice, right? A beer and a pint of chips, yeah. And they were yogurt-flavored. Yogurt and what was it? Yogurt and sour cream? Yogurt and chives? I can't remember. You'll have to write in and tell me. DixonJanes@rogers.com. And tell me what those chips were. I got to be on the lookout for them because, boy, they were good. It was the Kettle Valley brand, I believe. And so she had that, and she just saw me. I mean, I just walked right up and paid the bill. And I said, those look good. And, of course, she ripped open the bag and offered to share them, which was very, very kind. So I thank you for the delicious chips and the recommendation. She was drinking the Wellington County. So that was beer number 3. And then her husband arrived, and the three of us had a very nice conversation about why Scarborough isn't such a bad place after all. And so welcome, if you're listeners. You probably won't be. This might not be your cup of tea, I don't know. But if it is, this is a secret window into Scarborough. I'd really like to have you listening, and I'd like to welcome, but I don't even remember your names. I'd recognize you in a crowd if there was a lineup, if there was 20, 30, 40, 50 people. I'd pick 100 people. I'd still pick both of you in. Okay. 1,000 people? Yep, chances are, but just take a lot longer, that's all. You won't bother. Anyway, that was very kind of you. It was kind of you to be friendly to a stranger. I didn't give you a whole lot of choice, mind you. And folks, I got to warn you listeners out there, if you meet the Scarborough dude face-to-face, once I get hold of your left ear or your right ear, wherever we happen to be standing, in relation to each other, I'm going to talk. And you're going to listen. Yeah, but I know that if it's another podcaster, you're going to be talking too, so nobody will be listening. I introduced myself, as I often do, as I am the most harmless person you're ever going to meet. And I do that to disarm people. It's quite true. Like, I was going to say I don't have a mean bone in my body. That's a lie, but I am, when it comes to people, I really am pretty kind. I really try hard to be nice and get along and put people at ease and smile and make for a good connection. That's what I do. That's what you gotta do when you got nothing else to do. You know, you don't get in there. There's no, you know, like when you're younger, maybe you gotta prove something, and I've said that before. That's why at my age, I don't have to prove anything anymore. And man, is that, it's a tremendous relief in life. All I have to do is stand here and drink my beer. Maybe get something to eat because I haven't had anything to eat all night. Except for a few of those delicious chips, thank you very much. And my fourth pint of beer. So I think I better bring this to a close right now and get on to finding my way home. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. And stay tuned. You're a good bunch of girls and boys. And yeah, I love you all. Yep. Bye-bye.
My little sister, see it getting clearer. My sweet brother, I can hear the whisper of my dear father. The circle keeps growing strong. Welcome strangers, drawn to the fire. There is no danger, no desire. Far from danger, flames getting higher. The circle keeps growing strong. Celebrate the living, sing Hosanna, hallelujah. The circle is strong. Celebrate the living, sing to the morning, hallelujah. The circle is strong. Sisters and brothers, if you care to join us, we'll sing together. We can make a difference now and forever. The circle keeps growing strong. Mm-hmm. Celebrate the living, sing to the morning, hallelujah, the circle is strong. Well now, if you hear the music, sisters and brothers, if you care to join us, we'll sing together. We can make a difference now and forever. The circle keeps growing strong. I said the circle keeps growing strong. Well, I said that the circle keeps growing strong.